But I want to share with you, I know we've been going through this book. And it's been such a while since we've been in it, I guess I'll review a little bit and not say much because I'd like to get us out about 8:30. I know many of you work. I'm not a time guy, but I know you work, and I know you. Many of you are worn slap out when you come out on Wednesday night, and I just want to give you a little something to help you along. Before we begin, let me pray. Father, in Jesus' name, please help me. Give me clarity of thought and speech. Open the hearts of the hearers. Do an eternal work. And above all things, Father, would you get the glory and honor and praise. Help me to preach with unction. And I'll give you the glory for all. Do an eternal work in our midst. I'll give you the glory for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to back up to chapter number 20. All I've been doing is just trying to find God's message, not preaching line upon line or precept upon precept, but just trying to find the messages as we work our way through Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, we said this is a book of transition. We went from Eli to Samuel and to Saul, and soon we're going to David. And so we see a lot of transition in this book. But in chapter 20, David is in that crucible, that time of God molding and shaping him into what he needs to be the king of Israel. And he says, we come down to chapter 20, Saul has attempted to kill David on several occasions. And he says in the latter part of verse number 3, as he's talking to Jonathan, there is but a step between me and death. And so fear has now begin to grip his life. God, he knows he's going to be king. I mean, Samuel has anointed him. He's aware of God's plan. I believe he's a man after God's own heart, but for some reason he's lost a little, it appears he has lost a little courage here, and rightfully so. We see too that David is wanting to stay around the palace. I'm calling wherever Saul's living the palace. I don't know if he had a palace. I don't know what he had, but let me use that phrase just for to communicate with you tonight. He's wanting to hang around the palace. I think what David may be thinking is that the Lord's just going to take Saul out and he'll be right there and they'll just elevate him to that position. But we've said this, and I know I've preached on this already. He and Jonathan came up with a plan. And you don't see anywhere he asked the Lord about it. He just said there is but a step between me and death. And so Jonathan's going to feel his dad out and see if he was for or against David. And he finds out that indeed Saul is intending to kill David. And so they have a little plan. They're going to shoot an arrow. And if it goes so far and the little lad's going to retrieve the arrow, goes on, he tells him to go on, then that means David needs to flee. And if he shoots short and David can come back in. I don't want to go into a lot of detail on that. But they just had their own plan. They worked out David's safety. But when we work our own plans, things don't always work out like they ought to. Now, he thought he was protecting himself. But the bottom line, he went to the priest and got Goliath's sword, and there was a fellow there named Doeg, or if I'm pronouncing that right, D-O-E-G, and he went to Saul, and the end result, let me just cut to the chase. The end result of David and Jonathan's plan was, I believe it was 80 priests were killed. And David ends up in enemy territory. And he is afraid. If you look at the last part of chapter 21, David is down with King Achish, the king of Gath. And he becomes afraid and he fears for his life and he has to fight the madman and escapes for his life. So here's what I like to say to you. Be careful about working out your own plan. Just be careful about that. It may look like a good plan, but be sure God has his hand upon it. Then we come to chapter 22 when David separates from Saul. We see that great doctrine of separation taught again and goes to the cave of Adullam. Then things begin to happen. He's separated now. And we see that the distressed and the discontented and the indebted, they all come to David. And so David begins a very humble beginning of a following of men. And you can begin to read here, but I think the great point is this: until David separated from Saul, he's going back to the palace no more. He's fled a few times and come back and fled and come back, but now he's gone for good. He's in the cave of Adullam. I think it's a great picture of separation. And so here God begins to exalt him, begins to bless him and use him. And then we come down to chapter 23, and that's where I want to spend a little time on this evening, what few minutes we have left, and just kindly start down through this. And I want you to notice David has decisions to make. Life is full of decisions. Decisions all the time. We're making decisions. Decisions to flee. Decisions to move. Decisions to back up. All the time there's decisions. And when we get certain information, many times that puts us in a place of decision. And so we've talked about that. I know that we talked about the crossroads. There are certain times in our life we come to the crossroads, and what decision we make will determine what path we go down and what path we follow. And we've talked about that plenty. But I just want to look at this chapter just for a few minutes this evening. I want to talk a little bit about the will of God as well. Brother Dre, that's interesting that's what you had. We're kind of going down the same channel, so to speak. In verse 1 of chapter 23, then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors." And so now David knows that the enemy is attacking Israel, that Keilah is a portion of Israel, is attacking God's people. He hears that they are robbing their threshing floor, stealing their food. And so here's David who has always been successful against the Philistines. I don't know if he ever lost a battle against the Philistines. At this point, I don't know if he's experienced defeat against the Philistines. Now, if you want to say when he fled there from Achish, maybe. But David has been victorious. I think maybe somebody came to David because he was victorious over the Philistines. Somebody maybe sent him word and said, "Hey, the Philistines are attacking and stealing the food in if I'm pronouncing that right, in Keilah." And so David, now he and, of course, Jonathan's not around. He has to make a decision. And when we are given information, spiritual information, and we realize spiritually things are happening. Maybe we hear or realize the devil's attacking our home or attacking our children. Or maybe we realize, as Dre said, God has a purpose for our life that we didn't realize, but all of a sudden, the great God has made that real to us. And we have information we didn't have before. Now that puts responsibility on us to act or not act, depending on God's timing. Now let me say this. There's more to this thing than knowing what you ought to do. Now you need to listen to what I'm saying. There's more to knowing what God has for your life. You need to know how God wants it carried out, and you need to know God's timing on the matter. David knew in his heart, he knew he was going to be king. He just didn't know when. And so many times, I think we get sideways on God because we get ahead of him, we get impatient. I think that's why 80 priests were dead. I think David was fearful for his life, and I would have been too. I'm not throwing off on David, but he come up with his own plan. God had told him, you're going to be the king. Samuel anointed him, but yet he was afraid, and his faith got a little weak. And I think he got ahead of God, tried to protect his own self, still letting God do that. And so he got in trouble. But now he's got the information. And instead of just devising a plan, instead of coming up with his own idea of what to do, notice what he says. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord. Verse 2. He inquired of the Lord. And here's what he says. Shall I go? Let me just read the verse. So I don't want to paraphrase. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And so David, how do you know the will of God? Brother, you said some good things there. But I'm going to tell you how David knew the will of God. He asked God, and God gave him a word. God give you a word. He's give us a word. You said the word of God. That goes right hand in hand. God will give you a word. I do believe this, that God wants us to know his will for our lives. I believe that. If you don't know the will of God for your life, I understand timing comes into place, and don't run me in the ditch there. But I believe it's right for us to have confidence that we're in the will of God. I believe that. And so David inquired. And there's so much we can say about the will of God. I think about it many times. Now we know, and you all know exactly where this comes from. God's will comes in different forms. It comes to us in different forms. We have the printed will of God. Isn't that right? We have a Bible. And so we know the will of God. There is a personal will of God. Now, you might say this. I'm thinking God might want me to be a preacher, might want me to be a missionary. It's going to be hard to find a verse in there that says Blake Brewster needs to be a preacher. You ain't going to find that verse, Blake. You're just not going to find it. And so there's a personal will of God that you have to get through a work of the Holy Spirit in your life as you pray and seek God's will. And then, of course, there's the progressive will of God. There was a time where it was the will of God for David to be on the backside of the pasture field, keeping the sheep, fighting the bear and the lion. There was a time when it was right for David to fight Goliath. And there was a time when it was right for him to assume kingship. And it was all a progressive thing. And so we see there's a progressive will of God for our lives. And we have to understand that. Some of you that are at this church 5 years ago, it wasn't the will of God for you to be at this church. In fact, you didn't even live in Blount County then. You wasn't even close. But now it's the will of God for you. Or you feel like, I hope you feel like it's the will of God for you to be with us, you see. And so things change. At one time, it's the will of God for Brother John to be a member here. But now he lives in Indiana. It's the will of God for him to be up where his church is now. And so the will of God is progressive at times. And so you have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And we see this. What determined? I'm just going to give you some little thoughts to think about. What determined the will of God in David's life? God told him, go fight the Philistines. What determined that? Number one was the circumstances that were around him. Circumstances can affect the will of God for your life. Had the Philistines not attacked, it would not, I suspect, now I don't know if I can say that, it might have been he should attack the nation, but I suspect it would not have been the will of God for David to have attacked them. But it was because of the situation. And so we have to understand that. And so much we could say about that. But I want you to notice what happened after David knew the will of God. After he knew the will of God, I want you to notice what happened. And David, verse 3, the Lord, verse 2, the last part, and the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Now, is that easy to be understood? I think anybody could understand that. You say this to me, well, preacher, that settles it. Forget about the rest of it. Let's just go do what God said. Well, sometimes it's not that easy. You see, if he's going to go accomplish what has to be accomplished, then he's going to have some help. And I want you to notice what happened in verse 3. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. We're afraid. And David, let's read on. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Now, I want you to notice there were some obstacles to the will of God for David's life. There will always be, when God gives you clear direction, here's what you say so many times. Well, God will just make it easy. Well, not always. Many times there's obstacles to the will of God for your life. Many times you may know what God wants, but you just can't get there immediately. Many times there's a timing. David, I think in David's heart he knew he's going to be the king, but all these things are going on. He has to realize there's some kind of purpose for it. I mean, here he is living in a cave and he's going to be the king. It doesn't make sense. I suspect there's a little confusion. I think he thinks he ought to be down at the palace so when Saul dies, be an easy transition. But now he's in the cave. It just doesn't add up. And now God said, go fight the enemy. It seemed like an obvious thing to do. And those who's going to have to help him fight, they say this, we're afraid. We're just scared. David, we're scared. And I'm going to tell you what keeps most of God's people from the will of God for their life. They're afraid. They're afraid. They're scared. There's been a lot of preachers never announced their call to preach because they're afraid. They were fearful. Just how I think that's how it is. You say, well, and I've heard people say this, and I think it's horrible advice. And if you're guilty of doing this, then I say shame on you, but don't come to attack me afterwards. But I've heard people say, tell people, if you can not preach, don't do it. Well, you have a choice in the matter. And take preaching out, fill in the blank. Teaching, singing. Some people scared to go stand in the choir. It is amazing what a timid, frightful world we live in. It really is. Well, here's what hindered David from the will of God. Fear. And then, notice what else hindered David from the will of God. His close companions. Those closest to David were hindering him from the will of God. Think about that. I mean, though not his enemies, but those close to him. And I wonder how many families have kept their children from being in the perfect will of God. You know, we want everybody called to the mission field until it's our child. Well, I'd really love for my child to be on the mission field. Can I just tell you? You can call me whatever you want. Not me. Not unless that's what God wants and I'd accept it. But it'd break my heart. See my grandkids leave. Well, you're looking real pious at me, but it hurts you too. You know it would. That's just how we are. We're wired up that way. And so the close companions. Now here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying to all you young folks, you old folks, middle-aged folks. It doesn't matter. We're all in the same boat. Don't let fear keep you from the will of God. Don't let close companions keep you from the will of God. Don't let it happen. And then notice, too, what else was keeping them from the will of God. In fact, it was generating the fear was the dangerous situations or circumstances that they were in. I mean, you think about it. If he goes down there and fights the Philistines, what if Saul shows up? What if Saul's going to fight the Philistines as well? And they meet together. I mean, there's a lot of things. I think David did not fear the Philistines near as much as he feared Saul. And there was a good chance Saul might have been there. And so I'm just saying to you, anytime we know God makes his will plain to us, so I won't say anytime, many times there'll be obstacles, fear, close companions, potential. Here's what it is, the what ifs. What if Saul is there? What if all of my men are destroyed and we're just now getting started? Maybe David was thinking. Maybe that thought came to him. I don't know. But I know this, he knew the will of God, but there was obstacles to get past, and so in our life, and so in this church's life, as we know the will of God, we'll have to get past those who are afraid. I've seen people so afraid. They've been people afraid to drive the church van, afraid they'd wreck and get sued. I have known that. And maybe you think that's a legitimate, maybe you feel like that's legitimate. I can't live in that fear. I just can't do it. I can't go through life like that. And if you have to, you have to. But fear, don't let fear keep you from the will of God. I could tell you all sorts of things that people said they're afraid of and why they won't do what they ought to do. Well, what does David do? What do you do when you face those obstacles? What's the answer? Notice verse number four. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. He went back to the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you where the help is. Young people, look at me. Here's where the help is with the Lord. That's it. I'll tell you what y'all do. Y'all to develop a private, personal prayer life. Y'all do that. Just you and the Lord talking it over. Because really, there's just times in life, the only one that can help you or give you peace in your heart is the Lord. Have you ever been there? I have. I've been there when nobody could comfort me but the Lord. And so David goes back to the Lord. That's the right thing to do. When obstacles are just too much for you, take it to the Lord. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand." I want you to notice this. The Lord did not change his mind. The Lord's a... I know we live in a time where missionaries go to the mission field and in 1 year they don't even have the language down, and the Lord's told them to come back home and enter another mission, another ministry, and preachers are jumping here and jumping there and going here and there, and everything seemed like there's no stability. But I believe this. I heard somebody say this a while back, and I believe that's right. God don't change his mind as much as man changes his mind. I believe it's Brother Terrell Rose said that, if I'm not mistaken. I just don't believe God changes his mind every 6 months. I don't believe that. Not for the will of God for your life. I don't believe he changes it every 6 months. Well, I'm kind of picking on missionaries, but we apply that to preachers. We apply that to Christians, what believers, whoever. And so God did not change his mind. And so the Lord answered and told him the same thing again. Even though he had all these obstacles in front of him, Lord told him same thing. Verse number 5, what do you do? Here's the obstacles. God's give you direction. Here's the obstacles. You go back to God. He gives you the same direction. What do you do? Just what David did. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines. And notice what happened. And brought away their cattle. Now what would a man in a cave with 400 people, soon to be 600 people, what would he need? Food. And so in obedience to what God told him to do, guess what God... By the way, before I get off this, here's what y'all do when you know what the will of God is and you have some direction and you feel like you have his timing. You know what you need to do? Just obey. Just obey. Is there any substitute for obedience? No substitute for obedience. Just obey. And I would encourage you, I say this all the time in our service, just obey the Spirit. Just obey the... Have you ever thought the Lord wanted you to testify and you testified and you thought, man, I made a mess out of that. You sat down and you thought, man, I'd been better off just to been quiet. Well, no, that's not right. If you thought that's what the Lord wanted and you attempted to obey, you don't know what God's going to do with that. You really don't. And so I encourage you to obey. If it gets out of hand, I can bring it in hand. I can bring it in hand. I believe I can. I mean, I might be mistaken, but I think we can keep order. And so here's what I'm saying. Just obey the Lord. Young people, just obey the Lord. If you're scared, if your companions are telling you no, or your close associates are telling you no, just obey God. Now I will give you a disclaimer to that. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. Don't just go out shooting from the hip. Be wise. Be wise. Be sure. Be sure you know the will of God. I encourage you to do that. And his will, let me say it again, his will won't change in your life immediately. Now, I did say there's the progressive will of God, and I do believe that. But when God gives you instructions, he wants you to follow that. And so David went down and fought the battle, and he brought away cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now, here's the lesson out of this. Through obedience, God provided what David needed. He got the cattle to feed the men and to take them, I don't know how long, but would suffice for a while anyway. And so God took what the men were afraid of and used that to provide for them. And God's just in the habit of taking care of his children. You need to understand that God takes care of his children. And there's a lot of things I don't understand that God's people have to go through. I don't have all the answers. I can't explain it. But I do know this. God takes care of his children. You can take that to the bank with you. And so we see that God took care of his children. And I guess we'll stop there, but we'll see God bless David for his obedience. Down in verse number 13, then David and his men, which were about 600, went from 400 to 600, God's blessing. You see, now that he's got away from Saul in the palace, God's beginning to build him up. He's separated. He doesn't have the luxuries of Saul's house or household, or the fine meals and maybe the good clothes, living in adverse situation, but God's blessing, God's adding, God's building. And we're going to see, it just keeps, the momentum just keeps. Hey, when you've got God for you, you're going to come out in the end. You're going to come out in the end. It may be like John 2. He may save the best for last. But I'll tell you this, in the end, you're going to come. And then the ultimate end, when we get home, my, it's definitely going to be the best. And so we have a little story, and I like to compare how David made this decision to chapter 20 when he made the decision without the Lord. And I do just want to say this again as I close out this night. Always include the Lord in all your decisions. It's so easy to let fear cause you to do things without consulting the Lord. Or maybe other things. Certainly it can be other things that can cause you to leave the Lord out of your decision-making process. But if you'll let the Lord direct you, and you know, and you get clear direction from Him, it may not look right, but it'll work out. God will see that it works out. Let's bow our heads. Just a verse of a song, Sister Emily. Maybe you come in tonight heavy-hearted, nothing to do with the message, nothing to do with the lesson, but you just need to pray. I want to give you an opportunity if that be the case.